I would say like the number one thing that I really want to advocate for, especially if you're an entrepreneur or an aspiring entrepreneur who's listening to this, I want to help you rise to, or want to encourage you to rise into a new identity. And that identity is to be generous with your life, to be generous with your life, to be generous in your relationship, and to be generous in your business.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah. I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. With David E. Simons.
Welcome to another episode of How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. I'm honored and delighted to have today's guest on, my brother, Pedro Yarez. I hope I said that right. I probably butchered the last name, but forgive me. I want to share from my perspective, from my heart. When I got to meet this brother at a conference not too long ago, I believe we said it's about a month ago, and I just felt his spirit. Just like very few people, you come into this marketing space and you meet them, and they're not just their talent, they're who they are, like as a person. I felt his presence. I felt just the genuineness. And it was so rare. So I'm so grateful. Like I'm not gonna say what conference it was, because I wasn't really pleased with the conference, to be honest. But meeting Pedro was one of the best experiences of that conference, and we further built from there. He's got a heart of gold. He's a master at what he does. You're gonna hear from him. He's done some amazing things. He has some amazing results, some amazing testimonials of the work he's done. And I know that those listening on this show today, you're going to get so much value just from listening and hearing from this brother. So you're going to need to watch this episode multiple times. Just mark my words on that. Thank you, Pedro, for coming on the show, brother.
It's setting the bar very low.
You know. You know how we do, man. Yes, sir. So, Pedro, it's an honor to have you on the show, brother. I want to just start out, man. Take me through your journey, right? Just as a child. I want to start from childhood. This show is all about how you discovered your gift, and we'll get into all of that. But take me through the journey from childhood to adulthood, man.
I think if you want to understand me, you really have to understand my dad. And I come from a family that was born and raised in Dominican Republic, and to describe the level of poverty that my family grew up in, I've heard these stories from my dad multiple times. So they grew up in Dominican Republic, and my dad grew up with four different brothers and five sisters, and they literally had to walk 7 miles to school every single day, and most days it was barefoot. And so if you found a girl that you like and you wanted to take her out on a date, you had to negotiate with your brothers, like who gets to borrow the nice pair of shoes. And fortunately, my mom was able to migrate to the U.S. thanks to her mother. And she was able to bring my father over. They were dating in Dominican Republic. And my dad was the kind of guy who, like, he valued buying a gold chain or like the newest shirt to follow the trend and look nice than making decisions that would better his family's life. And so when he came to New York City, not speaking a lick of English, he became a cab driver, and that's how he provided for our family. And it wasn't until one day he was driving his cab that instead of paying his cab fare, the person who was supposed to pay his cab fare actually ended up pulling a gun at my dad's ribs and said, "Give me all your money." And that moment is significant because I think had that not happened, it would have kept my dad in this same exact mindset of wanting to be the cool kid. And after that moment, I think he realized that he needed to do something different. And it opened his mind to different opportunities in ways that I don't think he would have been open to otherwise. And what happened was he had a friend from Dominican Republic who actually found a network marketing opportunity and invited him into it. He didn't need a college degree. He didn't need to speak any English. And he had an opportunity to make his family's life better. And I'm so grateful he did, because literally it's like almost overnight. And why I love network marketing to this day is because how much they advocate for personal development. And so all of a sudden, instead of listening to the latest song on the radio, he was listening to positive things in his mind, you know, helping change his psychology, giving him skills of influence. You know, he was in sales now, helping him become a better leader, a better husband, a better father. And I share all this with you because this was the first time I was exposed to entrepreneurship. And what happened was, fast forward, I'm 5 years old and we're in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, and at the company convention of my dad's company. And we're walking through the MGM Grand Casino. Me and my dad are wearing matching suits. Like, imagine like classic Men in Black, you know, little Men in Black and big Men in Black. And we're walking through the casino, and we see all these lights in a particular direction. And as we get closer, we see that it's the grand prize that the casino was advertising. And finally, when we see it, we see the grand prize, and it's $1 million in cash and stacks of $10,000 in $20 bills. And I kid you not, I've never seen that much money ever in my life. And so my hand immediately squeezes my dad's hand, and I look at him and he looks at me, and I can see immediately like the excitement that we shared. And I can't make this next moment up. I look at my dad after being there with him, and at 5 years old, I look at my dad and I say, I'm going to be a millionaire. And I would say that that moment really drove me for a really long time. But it was also something that I needed to unkink myself from, because what was driving me was not the thing that was really going to help unlock my potential and really what life was really calling me to do while I'm here. And so I think that's a good place to start.
Wow. What an experience. And you remember it. That's the thing. Wow.
Yeah, what's funny about that, I'll just say this. What's so funny about that is that when we made it back home to New York City, I was so excited about like this experience and this thing that forever bonded me and my dad. And when we get back to home, New York City, I'm like, I'm telling everybody, like, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to be a millionaire. My mom, my uncles, my cousins, my neighbor, and my mom, she's Spanish, right? So she says, cállate la boca. And basically what that means is shut your effing mouth. I don't know if we can curse here or not.
Yeah, we try to keep it for the kids.
All right, cool. I'm glad we kept a PG then. It basically means shut your effing mouth. And she was like, God forbid someone actually thinks we have money. And I think this is why I gravitated more towards my dad growing up, because he nurtured this spirit of mine, which was different and weird. And a little bit outside of the box for a kid who grew up in the Bronx on 182nd Street across the street from a zoo, you know?
Wow. Dude, that's so powerful. If I may ask, if you can go into detail, what kind of networking marketing company was it? Or which one, if you can go into detail on that?
Yeah, I mean, what they sold and what my dad sells to this day. Is luxury pots and pans and kitchen appliances and air purifiers and water filters. My dad was the first kind of really example to show me that you can start with absolute nothing and you can make something of yourself. Like, hey, if this man who came to the US with absolutely no money in his pocket, became a cab driver, you know, experienced all these different things, had a family of three to take care of, could do something. So what you don't know, and the part of the story I haven't said, is that my dad's been able to grow to like be one of the top people inside of this network marketing company, one of the top income earners, and he still doesn't speak English to this day.
No way.
It's like, you know, and so like he really set the tone. He was the first person to show me that it's possible. You put your mind to something, it's possible.
What an inspiration. So now you have this idea at five, like, I'm gonna be a millionaire, and you're in this experience, and it's a ground shaping experience. When you go through that journey and you think about from there to now, what is your most dominant gift when you look at all of your journey in this entrepreneurship space?
I think my failures, to be honest, my character and how it's developed over time. I think what happens, at least my story for a long time, that drove me, but I was naive. You know, my thinking was full of biases. I was immature, you know, in a lot of ways. I hadn't lived enough of life. And, you know, life has its way of humbling you to help you build character, to help you step up and to be the person that you're meant to be if you want to. Like, you can have these experiences and not learn anything from them and continue to make the same mistakes, you know, or you can actually receive the lessons from life when life gets hard and ascend to a new level of thinking, to a new level of character, a new level of being. The parts that I remember the most are not even really the successes. The parts that I value the most in my life are the ones that were scary. Like, for example, making the money, like making my dad proud. And the specific moment that I'm thinking about was, I had this event a couple years ago, and there was 250 people at this event, somewhere between 200 and 250 people. And I have everybody standing in a circle in this pretty sizable ballroom with beautiful chandeliers. And I have everybody sharing their experience of this event. This event was in New York City, so my dad was there. And my dad standing by the entrance of the ballroom, and as everyone's sharing, it was a significant moment, because when I look over to the ballroom, as to the front of the, by the entrance of the room, as all this was happening, I look over and I see tears falling down my dad's eyes.
Wow.
And what's significant about that is that I've never seen that man cry or shed a single tear ever in my life.
Wow.
And I saw him do one of these. And in that moment, like, I felt like I did it. Like, I made the money. And also this thing that bonded me and my dad, and this drive to want to make my dad proud, like, there it was unfolding in real life. I felt ecstatic and happy. And I went to bed and I woke up the next day, and I remember the first thought that crossed my mind, which was, now what? And that was the single most confusing thought of probably my entire life, because, like, you think your whole life, like, once you get somewhere, then you'll be happy. I lived in this belief that if I did something, then I'll be happy, instead of just being happy. But I needed to go through that to actually realize that, and probably, like, go through several months of, like, fighting and to discover something better along the way. But I would say, like, making it and being confused about it was probably where my growth really started.
Can you go deeper into that?
Again, like, I held the belief that when I made it, then I'll be happy. When I made my dad proud, then I'll be happy. When I make the money, then I'll be happy. there was always a, I needed to do something to be happy. So like so much of my happiness always lived in the future. And so what I did after this was that, I don't know what compelled me to do this, but like I had all these events that were going on at that time. And I decided to like literally just shut down the whole entire operation and said, I'm going to go and travel and figure some things out. Cause like, obviously I don't, something's off here. And it was an interesting time in my life because when I decided to do that, I find myself overseas in Thailand in this small little island called Koh Phangan. And I remember being in what I think is one of the most beautiful places in the world. Sunsets like you've never seen them before. Just absolutely incredible, breathtaking. And walking on the beach, everyone's dream. And feeling depressed and feeling like, honestly, like I probably wanted to take my own life. And having these thoughts because I was wrestling with my identity. Who am I when I don't have the status, when I don't have the money, when I don't have the recognition? And on top of that, I was in a relationship at the time that really showed me all of my fears. And really challenged me. And so like the two most important parts of my life were chaos and confusing. And the question was like, who am I without these things? And the reality is that at the time I couldn't answer that. I couldn't answer that. And that was leading to feeling the way that I was feeling.
Wow. Deep, man. Deep. This is deep stuff. Wow, Pedro. So you said something very interesting I've never heard on, you know, after over 100 interviews, that failure and character are your most dominant gift, right? Like, do you feel that failure produced the character? Do you feel like the character was always there from as a child? Like what, how do you put this together? Right. Cause it's such a deep answer I've never heard. And I want listeners to really understand what you mean by that.
I had a fantasy for a really long time that life needed to look a certain way for it to meet my expectations. And you know, this is kind of like one of those things, I don't know, like in personal development, you hear certain concepts even from like really well-known individuals, and it's like, you don't get it until you get it, right? It's like, sometimes you have to live enough life to get to the point where you get it and like you understand it because you're having the experience of it. You know, if somebody told me that when I get what I want, I'm not going to be happy, like I would have said, what are you talking about? Right? What do you mean? You don't know what you mean. You obviously don't have the same dream as me, you know? And only by having that experience that I have to discover something better, right? But you only really can discover something better if you really go internally and like stop trying for other people to be your guru and try to teach you stuff, and like have the courage at some point in your life, like to look within and say, and really see what's coming through you, what's life inviting of you, you know, because there's so much wisdom in there. You know, I'm in a place in my life where like I learn more from me than from anybody. And I know that might sound crazy, but like, really, like I learn more from me than from anybody. Like, how do I do that? I do that by like choosing to be generous with what's moving through me, through my mind, through my emotions, through my spirit, through my body. We all have this wisdom inside of us. The problem is that we're all looking for someone else to basically tell us, you got to do this, you got to do that. And that's what I did my whole life. And it wasn't until I really had the courage to just listen to what was inside of me and what was life telling me, instead of me like trying to control everything, like actually just listen. And as I had more and more courage to actually like really lean into that, I feel like that's where this abundance of motivation really started to unfold inside of me, because life started to speak to me a lot more clearly now. Life was inviting me more clearly now. And the way that I know my truth, I don't know if people are going to get this, but the way that I experience my truth is not because someone else tells it to me. I don't experience truth because it's a thought that I'm having. I experience my truth because it's something that I feel. It doesn't need any words. And if I feel it, then it's like, it's as if like my creator literally just came down and like gave me some nuggets and invited me to do something, you know? And if it feels like truth, then it's an invitation to step into it, and I can step into it. And as I move into it, I see how that feels in my body. And if it feels good, then we run. I don't know if that makes sense, man, but
yeah, it's deep, man. I mean, you started this thing deep. It sounds like we're doing on a deep dive, and no, it's good. So take me, Pedro, into your entrepreneurial journey, right? What was the first business? I don't mind if it's the lemonade stand. Like, I want to start in the first and then develop and go to where we get to.
It was actually working with my dad. So as a little boy, my dad would take me to sales presentations with him. And we would get in there, I would shake the person's hands. You know, he would ask me to kind of pull out the brochure. I was kind of like his little assistant. I would pull out the brochure, I would hand it to the lady, I would open it up to the page, you know, and I learned my dad's presentation, and you know, I gave the whole pitch, and like, you know, when it was time to pull out the contract, because it was time to close the deal, I'll grab the contract, I'll hand the lady the contract, I'll give her a pen, I'll tell her where to sign, what to fill out. That's how it all started, literally just like as a young boy learning sales, and going presentations with my dad. That's where it all started for me.
That's amazing. Then what happened next?
Before I became an entrepreneur, what I actually did was I found the mentor. I read a book at the age of 18. I ended up dropping out of university after going for a week. And what I did was I had one credit card at the time, which was a Discover card, and it had a limit of $750. And what I did was I literally maxed out my entire credit card for books on Amazon. It was about 50 books. And I just started reading. And one of these books that I read said something really interesting. It said, rich people go to work to learn. Poor people go to work for a paycheck. And I took that to heart, literally at the age of 18. I was wise enough, I guess, to like understand the wisdom in that. And I found an incredible mentor, probably the best mentor I could have possibly asked for. And I went to go and work for that person for several years of my life. And I got my PhD in business and real life, if you will. So that's how it all started.
Can you go into detail about your mentor and your mentorship? Like, what was that about? And like what kind of business, what are some of the key lessons?
Yeah. So, I went to go and work for Tony Robbins' company. It's called Robbins Research International. And I was an assistant to a senior salesperson. Again, it's what I knew was sales. But I had no education, no experience, if you will, but a lot of hunger. I worked my butt off, making 14 bucks an hour, excited as hell, just to have the opportunity. And during that time there, like, I went to every single event that Tony did. You know, so I was going to a lot of events every single year and just stoked to be there. Because of that, I bought my own first suit, you know, just like to look presentable and, And so I was this really young kid that was just hungry, with a really big work ethic and a desire to serve. And while going through all these events, I was just exposed to a lot of different things related to persuasion, related to business, related to personal development, related to relationships. I knew from even a very young age that I wanted to make my life a masterpiece, which is what Tony talked about. And I failed a lot. I continue to fail a lot, you know, along the way. But that's part of the journey, you know, just being kind with oneself. Knowing that you're going to fall short, knowing that you're going to fail, and knowing that that's a part of the journey, you know, thinking that that's not supposed to happen. It's what leads to so many people's worries, you know, like, what are you in this for in the first place? You know, I know for me at the time was I just wanted to learn.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to be a sponge, and nothing can go wrong from that perspective. I was hungry. You know, when it comes to business, it's like, why are you in business in the first place? You know,
that's right.
I think you can only get frustrated if you're in it for the wrong reasons, because failure is a part of it. And also acknowledge that you get what you tolerate in life. It's okay to fail once, maybe fail twice, but like, you get what you tolerate in life, you know, at some point. What are you going to do about it? You
that's
know?
Right.
And
that's good. I like that. You get what you tolerate in life. Wow. That's good. That's a powerful statement. That there's so many depths to everything you're saying. But take me through. Okay, so you're working, and I'm assuming you're moving your way up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got promoted to the senior sales team within a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And which is crazy, right? Because I was like 20 years old. I was 20 years old in a team full of people who were 35 to 55, wow. You know? But again, just hungry. And so grateful for the opportunity and just showed up diligently for that. And I learned even more, you know, through that and got more opportunities to learn. And just soak them all up. Like my full-time job, people talk about, okay, what's the price you pay for success? Well, the price, my obsession, I will acknowledge that I had the safety at the time of like living with my parents, being this very young kid, right? But like, and maybe we don't all have that, right? Like 99.9% of the people listening to this probably don't have that. And I want to acknowledge that, right? I was lucky in that way. And I reinvested every little dollar I made into my education, because that is what I prioritized in my life at that time. I literally joined my first mastermind for $20,000 when I was 19.
Wow. That's impressive. I mean, to have that kind of wherewithal to even think that level at 19, like 19, I'm like, I'm scared.
What were you doing, dude?
I mean, dude. I'm scared of the upsells at these Get Motivated seminars. Like, oh, $200 for the upsell. I'm like, oh my God.
I was like, and I was the opposite, man. I was like, I love to buy. I was like, great, you're gonna teach me something good. I'll buy it.
Wow. Must have been
I was obsessed in the room.
You must have been predominantly a lot of the rooms. I imagine you were the youngest in the room.
100% by far.
Wow.
I shouldn't have been there. I don't know how I snuck my way in those rooms.
Wow. This is the stuff that I'm so excited that you're talking about, because people think there's a shortcut, right? And there is no shortcut to success. Like, you went through the process, you went through the learning, you invested in yourself. And I think advantage for you is you understood this early. Some people don't get this until they're 30, like, that I need to invest in myself.
I don't know if I understood it, dude. I just enjoyed it. Wow. To a certain extent, I felt this was my education, so I was all in on it. But like, to say I understood it, like, I don't know that. I just, once I started it, like, I just took a lot of joy in learning, you know? I really did. Like, it was fun for me. It was fun for me to sit down and open a book, you know? So the fact that somebody would invest the years of their life learning about something and write a book about it, and I can acquire that knowledge in a couple hours, days, was fascinating to me. I was like, that's a great deal, you know? Yeah. And I had hundreds of books in my library by the time I was 20, you know, because of that, you know?
Amazing. Amazing. So you're investing in yourself. You're in the senior levels of sales. You're learning from one of the greatest motivational speakers of all time. He's definitely Hall of Famer, right? And I'm assuming you're selling things like Destiny in a Day packages and things like that, right? Like,
yep, so all the events,
yep. All the events. And so you're helping people transform. What happened after that? How did you transition to the next thing?
Well, this kind of brings the whole story full circle, which was, I convinced myself at the time that, you know, after several years of doing this, that the reason I wasn't happy was because I wasn't more successful, because I wasn't making more money. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, let me go and start my own thing. And so I started my own education company. Like, I was very good at productivity, sales, personal development. Like, I obsessed about it for so many years of my life. And so that's when I went to go and do, and I started doing these events, and I took it all around the country. I saw how Tony sold things, and I was like, great, I'm going to do the same. And I started doing events literally with 200 to 250 people in different cities. There were 2-day events, 14-hour days for 2 days. And I found my way into companies, and I would give them free presentations. And at the end, I basically pitched my seminar, if you will. And that's how I would fill these events. And I did a bunch of these. And so I finally got to the point where I was making a lot of money, you know, and going back full circle to that moment when I was this little boy who wanted to make all this money and make my dad proud, you know, fast forward after doing a bunch of these, great, I can look back. I made the money, you know, I made my dad proud. And it wasn't after doing that for a little while that I felt like I really needed to evaluate some things, which kind of took me overseas. And there, while I was overseas, while all this was unfolding in my life, which I mentioned earlier, I was sitting at a cafe trying to figure my life out in front of my computer. And in walks this couple. It was raining. The cafe is full, but there's 2 seats in front of me that are available. And this man says, hey, can we sit with you? And I was like, sure. And the next words out of his mouth was, it looks like you're working on something important. And I said, yeah, kind of. And so we sit down and I tell him a little bit about myself because he asked. And after speaking for a while, I asked him, well, tell me about you. Tell me what you do, you know, because that's what you're programmed to ask people, right? Like, what do you do for a living?
Right.
I never forget his response. His response was, I help people who are ready to wake up, wake up. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I mean, that's like so far from like anything that I could understand at the time, you know? And his response, again, I will never forget it. It was, well, it's kind of like the next level from where you are now. And I remember my eyes immediately just opened really wide. Wow. Because he was speaking directly to like my high achiever or my D, if people are familiar with the DISC profile. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said this. And anyways, after having the conversation for some time, the way we left the conversation off was, he said, if you ever need some help, just know that I'm here to support you. And I remember my life got so dark in terms of my own experience inside of being in myself that I had never asked another man for help that wasn't my father. That I reached out to him and asked him for help. And he, probably the single most important person I've ever come across in my entire life. And this man spent hundreds of hours with me, helping me unravel everything that was unfolding inside of me and helping me wake up and find something within myself that was independent of anything that was happening outside of me. And as all this unfolded and I was starting to find myself and was finding my feet again and all these different things, you know, I got really clear that I wanted to build a career in marketing specifically. Because that's what really allowed me to be successful in sales. You know, I understood instead of dialing the phones 100 times, you know, every single day, you know, what if I got really good at getting 20 people to tell me that they want to speak to me today, you know, using email marketing, using SMS marketing, using different marketing strategies.
Right.
And this is what I did. And after this whole experience, just part of who I am is I'm obsessed. It's just the way I am. Wow. And I knew I wanted to do this for others. And in the beginning, it all started with me wanting to go to work for people for free. I said, hey, I know I've never done this before. Give me a shot. Don't pay me anything. And if it works, pay me this. And if it doesn't, then don't. And that's how it all started.
Wow. Can you take us into your first client?
My first client. Who was that?
With that whole model.
I don't probably remember, man, because it was probably so bad.
This goes back to failure and character, right? Developing the two. I love it. So
I will say one of, I don't usually mention a lot of these people's names, you know, but I will say that they are some of the biggest players inside of the info industry primarily.
Yeah.
You know, I'll mention one name.
Okay.
You know, somebody like Darren Hardy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some time, like every word that came out of his business, I was writing and helping him, you know, strategize marketing campaigns and create launches and different things like that. That's one name.
Yeah. And he's the author of Compound Effect, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Great book. Great wisdom. So this is an acceleration, it sounds like. So it's like, okay, you're great at sales. You meet this gentleman who essentially comes into your life and helps you to realize some other things about you. You come into marketing. Now you're helping people. You're kind of like, it's like sales. You started at, you know, everybody starts. You had to start to learn from the bottom to build to the top. You come into a whole nother industry. You have to come again, maybe start again at the bottom to learn to get to the top. And obviously you've done that because of, as I'm hearing this conversation and hearing you speak, it's because of your insatiable appetite for learning. You're going to find the top because you're going to continue to learn, and you're probably not as scared to fail as most other people are, right? Most people will be like, I failed. Maybe let me stop. It sounds like that. Am I right in this, Pedro? As I'm yeah, analyzing,
totally.
Like as you fail, it actually spurs your hunger and curiosity more. Where some people, it kind of shrinks them back. Is that what happens for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, sometimes it's easy to look at people who've been able to achieve any kind of success and say, oh, they're lucky. You know, they don't feel fear. One of my favorite words in the English dictionary, probably my favorite word in the English dictionary, is generosity. And what generosity looks like in relation to business is that it's acknowledging I'm human. I'm going to feel shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can feel stuff. Sometimes I feel anxious. You know, sometimes I feel overwhelmed. Sometimes, you know, all the feelings that you can feel when you're out there building something meaningful, that's meaningful to you. And when you say, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, you know, and even when you are successful, you probably feel it even more, right? Like you have new problems like, holy cow, I got $500,000 on my payroll this month. You know, that's a lot of money, you know, like that forces you to expand in ways that you didn't have to before. Going back to the word generosity, it's like I feel all of those things. You know, I think what separates me from a lot of people is that when those things happen, I lean in more. I'm very generous with my feelings, and knowing that this is life just inviting me to relax more, to surrender more, to move in closer, so I can get to the other side of whatever wants to get created, you know? You know, all business requires risk. You know, if you want to know how much of an entrepreneur are you, it's like, how comfortable are you with risk? What's the risk that you're comfortable taking?
Yeah.
That's probably a good reflection of whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Some people hate it, probably not an entrepreneur. If you love it and probably even get a little high off of it, which, you know, people have different feelings about, you know, that's probably a good sign of an entrepreneur spirit.
Right.
And that is what's required, to be honest, like, and taking responsible risk, you know, it's not like being silly.
Right.
But responsible risk, and you take calculated risk over time and putting yourself in a position to succeed. You know, I think that's what has allowed me to do a lot of things that I've done. I mean, fast forward now, probably close to a dozen, seven and multi 8-figure companies that I've helped build.
Wow. That's phenomenal. So take us into that, if you don't mind, to some of these companies you've been able to help build up to 7 and 8 figures. I mean, that's a dream for a lot of people, right? Like, it was a dream for you at 5 to become, hit that 7-figure mark, being a millionaire. And you achieved it. And so can you take us into these companies you've been able to be on the back end? I know, again, for disclosure purposes, you can't say certain things, no problem, but take us into that. How does Pedro go from watching his, you know, dad experience a life altering moment to shifting him into an entrepreneur, gleaning from you? I'm just recapping your whole story, gleaning from him getting into network marketing, him taking you on trips, you becoming his sales assistant, and then from there going into this realm of saying, forget school, I'm going to get into real learning and reading books, spending the last that you have to buy books. Who does that, right? Most people don't do that. You come into that, leave that, go into sales, working with one of the top motivational speakers of all time. You come into that ladder.
I just want to say one thing about that, David, because like, I want to make sure no one gets the wrong impression. Like, my journey is my journey.
Yeah.
And I think the younger version of me always thought that my journey needed to look like someone else's journey. You know, hopefully my journey can serve as an inspiration for others. But like, don't be afraid to walk your journey the way that you're supposed to walk your journey. Don't be afraid to live your life the way you're meant to live it. You know, my life is my life. Don't compare your life to me. The question is, like, what kind of life do you want? Know that your journey is perfect, exactly how it's unfolding, and you get to make decisions every single day to position yourself for success or not. You know, one of my favorite books growing up was a book called The Slight Edge. Yeah. Haven't read it in forever, but it's this whole concept that, you know, what you do every single day is either helping you move in a particular direction or not. And your results a decade later are not an accident. They're just a reflection of the actions that you take every single day. So fast forward a decade. Oh, you're an overnight success. Yeah, you're right. The stuff that I did every single day, you have no freaking clue the level of sacrifice that it took every single day that I had to make to get to where I'm at.
That's right.
Like, if you knew that, you probably wouldn't be sane. And I say you, I'm talking about people in general. And so honor the journey.
That's right.
Is what I would say to people. Like, really honor the journey, honor your journey and the path that you're supposed to walk. Don't be in a rush to get somewhere, because the reason you probably haven't got there is because there's lessons that you're meant to get that you haven't learned yet. So get the freaking lesson so you can ascend to the next level in your life.
Respect. Dude, love it. So take us into those eight figure builds. These companies, now you're in marketing, you switch from sales and now you're in marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like my hunger for learning and hunger to learn from other people. My mind is very systematic in the way that it thinks, right? It's very visionary and very systematic. And so like over time, like I was making my playbook, you know, tried something didn't work, then that goes in the playbook. Those become principles, right? If something does work, then it's like that becomes a principle. But I would say like what I contribute so much of that success to before going into specifics is like, it's learning to think. And this is the part that I think separates me from a lot of people and what I really want to encourage people to learn how to do in their own lives. I think not enough people know how to think. And by the way, not everyone's meant to be a strategic thinker like myself. Maybe you're just meant to be a visionary and work with somebody like me or work with somebody like you, David. And we can be this person essentially inside of your business. But I think that regardless, most people don't know how to think, right? They look at what other people are doing out there in their industry and they think that, the way that I'm going to achieve what I'm going to achieve is just by like doing what everyone else has done. And in my opinion, I think that's one of the worst things that you can do, because I think that there's deeper questions that you're not asking. And this is the hole in a lot of people's thinking. So the question you really should be asking is that, okay, this is what somebody did and here's how they did it. Great. There's wisdom in that. But the question you really should be asking is, what's the thinking that led to the result in the first place using this strategy? Right. So like taking a step back, right? Like actually looking at the strategy behind that. Okay. So what kind of positioning are they taking? Why are they successful in the first place? Right. You know, what kind of messaging are they using? What kind of people are they actually resonating with? You know, if people knew the amount of things that actually go into actually scaling a company, they would realize that there's so much more to things just looking at, oh, their ads look like this. We should record ads like this too. But then I always get the call, or you get the call. That is usually like, hey, we've tried everything and we can't get past this point. Right? Because they don't get you're all you're doing is looking at what you can see. Right? But the more important things are the things that you can't see. The things that you can't see that's leading to the result in the first place, that's really what matters. And you got to be able to look at those things and unpack those things and dissect those things. And then you'll truly understand why every single one of these companies that you might see from the outside are actually succeeding in the first place. And you got to be able to look at that, right? You got to be able to look at that. You got to be able to look beyond the surface. You know, when, you know, it was a different game. You know, if you're spending a couple thousand dollars, $10,000, whatever it is, it's a different game when you're spending $2-3 million a month.
Wow.
And you gotta, to do that, you gotta be willing to let go of what you think you know, to see the problem and how you're gonna approach it differently.
Man, that is so real. Bro, like, I remember we had a conversation and I told you that you shifted my entire thinking, because what you said to me, we were talking about some ad stuff, and you said, essentially, I was looking at, like, I was like, oh, man, we spent this to make this, and low amount. He was like, wow, I would, you know where I'm going. I would be more afraid to spend that low amount that you did than to spend a higher amount. And I was just like, huh? What is that? How does that make? So if you could go into that like level of thinking, like when people hear you, right? You said so much. That's why I said, I knew this would happen. They need to watch this episode multiple times to really unpack what you're saying, that even just from my technical people, my marketers that would love to hear this, why did you say that to me, that it's more important, it's actually easier to work with a lot more in ad spend than to go into work lower amounts of ad spend, and you felt more comfortable and at ease? What?
Yeah. I think the first thing you got to ask yourself is like, what's your goal, right? Because if your goal is just to be a lifestyle entrepreneur and you're chilling, you know, with $1 million business, then great. Then maybe you don't need to do what I'm saying. Enjoy your $1 million business, which is providing a great life for you and your family. You've just achieved something that most people won't. Congratulations, right? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, but like, if your goal is, this is a different conversation. If you're operating at a different level of human need, which is, I want to be all I can with all I've been given. I'm here on a mission to serve as many people as humanly possible, right? Like, if that is your goal, then just know that you got to operate off a different level of thinking. There's a great book that I'm reading now, which I'm reading multiple times, which I love, which is 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dan Sullivan. There you go. And it's an incredible book. And I really resonate with that thinking. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, it is literally easier in many cases,
wow,
to go 10X than it is to go 2X. I'm telling you, because I've done it multiple times.
Wow.
But you got to first really believe that, right? And you know that if your goal is to go 10X, then the solutions that are going to help you go 2X are no longer viable solutions. Mm. You got to operate at a whole different level. You got to bring a whole different level of thinking and problem solving to the situation. If that is the form that you're going to operate in your life, it's as simple as that. So the reason that I said that, the reason that in my case is because, number one, my goal is not to be a lifestyle entrepreneur. Yes, I want a really great life, but I'm here to have a really great impact. And that's not something from my mind of like, oh, it would be really cool to have a really great impact. No, like, this is what's come through me. I feel it. I don't need any external validation. I don't even need to tell myself that. I just know it in my body that this is what I'm meant to do. And so therefore, I'm going to bring a different mindset into what is it that I'm doing, and a different level of speed, just operating at a different level of speed because of that. And so if that's true for you too, then maybe some of what I'm saying might relate. Yeah. So like, for me, I'm more afraid of that, those things, because of multiple things. Number one is like, depending on what you're building, you got to understand that unless you're a lifestyle entrepreneur, like, you're always against the clock, right? It's either you're going to build something that ends up operating in its own category, and or someone's going to beat you to it. And if they beat you to it, then you got to think about your marketing completely different and reposition your brand, right? And so like, I want to get there to the point where I'm owning the category in my space as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And to do that, yeah, you got to be an aggressive advertiser, mm-hmm, right? If you have 1 million followers or millions of followers on social media and you can grow something in that way, then again, congratulations. Most of us don't. Most of us have an idea and we decide we want to bring it to life, and we got to use what we have available to us to be able to create that. Well, guess what? Anybody can become an advertiser. Anybody. If you want to spend money, you can spend money to get in front of the people that you want to, right? And an idea's time has come. And so it's whether you're going to build it and own that market, and or whether someone's going to come in and actually own that market. The question is, who is it going to be, right? And so that's one of the reasons why I'm more afraid to spend less than to spend more. Mm-hmm. But to do that and not be dumb with money, you got to know your numbers, mm-hmm, right? You got to, whether you like data or not, you got to know your numbers, and you got to love looking at the data. Mm-hmm. Unless you have somebody who's obsessing about this and bringing the same level of energy that you would put to it. And even if you don't love it, like, start loving it, mm-hmm, right? Unless you actually start to love marketing, let me put it like this. The moment that you decide to become an entrepreneur, if you ever want to build something significant in your life, you better start loving marketing. Mm. Because that's the only way that you actually start. That's the only way you build something significant, wow. right? The companies that you know are the ones who are marketing companies. And hopefully, I hope we live in a world where they can actually deliver on something incredible as well. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I'll pause there. I can talk forever on this.
Oh, man, I love it, bro. I love it. We might even need to do a part two because there's so much to unpack. But if you could take us in, because this is your thing, man. Like you are a accelerator of businesses and a scaler of businesses. So take us into, if you could, you have the record for the largest challenge tickets sold ever. Like 20, I don't want to steal the thunder. If you could take us into that, man, like, and that whole experience and building up this company and then eventually exiting. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think what it comes down to at the end of the day is, again, knowing your numbers. Knowing your numbers. Once you know your numbers, it's simply asking yourself a very simple question every single day, which is, are you on track or are you off track? Are you on track or are you off track? Are you on track or are you off track? Mm-hmm. And if you're on track, then guess what? If you're driving a car, this is where I would say, hit the gas. Go. Okay, I'm dumbing down a concept, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're off track, right, then the goal is you got to figure out as quickly as possible through optimization. Don't live in this fantasy. Here's something that'll serve everybody as an advertiser. Mm-hmm. Stop living in this fantasy that just because you worked hard on something and launched it, that it's supposed to work. Mm. Okay? It's not. In most cases, things that I've launched the first time don't work, right? There's always something that works.
Yeah.
But in most cases, something doesn't work.
Right.
And your job as an entrepreneur, AKA the person who's supposed to bring in money, because if you don't have money, you don't have a company. Mm-hmm. And doing this in conjunction with a team, the name of the game is figuring out why something doesn't work so you can optimize it and actually get it to work. Right. As quickly as possible. That's the name of the game. Okay. And so you got to find the holes. You got to understand what the data is actually telling you. Okay. It's hard to say because we all have such a wide range of different companies, right? But I'm talking from the lens of if you're in direct response marketing, meaning you're putting money and you're expecting a return.
Right.
Right. Or you're expecting to hit a particular target.
Right.
You got to know your numbers. Get out the mindset that things are supposed to work right out the gate. And if things don't work right out the gate, great. It's your job to figure out what's not working so that you can get the numbers to where you've deemed is acceptable. Mm-hmm. So that when they're acceptable, your goal is to really hit the floor running.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm really a fan of when it comes to advertising is there's a very deep relationship between what's taking place on your advertising platform, meaning let's just use Meta, for example, or Google to simplify the conversation. What are the numbers actually telling you there? Mm-hmm. And what are the numbers actually telling you where you're driving traffic to, you know, and where those numbers should be?
Yeah.
The problem that I find a lot of people do is that they think about those things separately. Okay. And what I really advocate people to do if they want to get better results is start to think about those things as one. They're one thing that ultimately should lead to one particular outcome. Mm-hmm. Are you acquiring customers at the cost that you've deemed acceptable or not? That's it. Mm. Okay. And they all have to work together to get you the result you want.
Right.
None of those pieces are independent. You know, one of my biggest mentors said something is probably the most important marketing lesson I've ever learned, which is that at the highest level, marketing is a system. Marketing is a system, meaning no individual part is responsible for the result. Mm-hmm. Okay. So look at your advertising, mm-hmm. where you're driving traffic to, your landing pages, your emails, your social media, all the different little pieces, part of your business. None of those pieces are actually responsible for the result. Like, well, what do you mean? Right? Because then you have the advertiser blaming the funnel builder and the funnel builder blaming the email guy, and then it's chaotic. Mm. When the reality is that it's the interaction of how those parts work together to generate one thing, to generate a single result is really how you should look at it in a systematic way. Mm-hmm. Another example I can give you is that it's like saying the engine is a car. The engine is responsible for building a car. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many parts actually go into building a car? You know how many parts need to work together and be connected for that car to come off the lot and you be able to hit the accelerator and it to go? Jeez. And for that to be a safe experience? Jeez. That's like your marketing. All of the pieces need to work together as if they were never apart, so that when you hit the gas, that's you generating a sale at the number that you deemed acceptable. Mm. That's when you start thinking about your marketing in that way, you start to find out why it's not working.
Mm. Wow. This is a masterclass. My God, Pedro. Wow. So I'm assuming when you come into a business, you see all of this, right? You're going with all of this knowledge. You're like, because that's what clients do, right? That's what people do. That's what I've done. I won't lie. Man, this is not working. My ad copy is just like, my ad creative, like, must be the copy, must be this. And like, and you're looking at it like, let's look at the whole thing, you know? So take us into how you did that with this world breaking challenge. Like, I know people want to know about that, man. So,
well, you just got to think about, like, you know, where are you at? Where are you at in the process, right? So, like, if you're in the process of promoting something, then that's where your focus needs to be for a moment in time, right? But of course, you have to take account. It's kind of like step one is you got to get people into the thing, you know, and then step two is like you got to get those people to convert and make a decision that's right for them. But at the end of the day, like, both of those things need to work together as like a single narrative arc, right? So that's a good way of thinking about it. It's like, imagine you just drew a big umbrella, right? From the very first ad that somebody sees all the way through the end of a campaign. It's like you have to communicate a single narrative arc and a single promise that ultimately you've positioned yourself to solve, right? And that's what marketing is, right? Marketing isn't sales, right? It's two different things, right? Like, the marketing piece of things is pre-positioning yourself and establishing certain beliefs. Like, what does somebody need to believe over time across this narrative arc? So that when we get to the point where you actually extend your offer, it's something that people want to do, assuming you attracted the right person in the first place, right? And so it's like, how do you actually engineer those experiences? I just want to say this and use this a moment to say that that's why I love marketing. Mm. And when you really start to understand the heart of what really marketing is, I think that most people will love it too. Mm. And you start to realize that it's actually one of the most incredible things, like, in the world, in my opinion, you know, spoken like a real marketer, but like, it really is like the most incredible thing that you can architect these experiences to help people make decisions that they already want to make. Right. And create something that helps people live into the identity that they want to live into.
Wow.
But to attempt to try and answer your question, you know, I can't really take credit for a lot of those things. Like, even though there's a lot of strategy involved, you know, that I was able to bring to the table, I think, you know, these things are only possible with an incredible team. At that level of scale, you know, I would wake up every single morning and there'll be 10 people who would jump on a Zoom call and they'll have a clean plate, literally nothing to do other than that morning to look at data and say, okay, what's working, what's not working, and what can we improve? And then based off that, 8 a.m, 10 people will go to work on what they needed to do. So this person's going to make some copy changes here. This person can do design here, whether it's on pages or ads or whatever it is. This person's going to create new ad creative here and or split test this VSL or split test this checkout page. And or we're going to split something in our upsells because our average order value isn't where we need it to be to acquire customers at our net cost. The project manager is going to do this. And so everybody has a job, right? But at that level of scale, it's like, yeah, it's like all systems go, you know, and there's a lot that's required. There's a lot that's required to be able to run something at that level of scale. So that's one of the things that would happen. We literally would get up every single day. First thing we'd do is look at the data every single morning, try to understand what's going on, make intelligent hypothesis for why things are working or not working, how to amplify the things that are working, how to split test the things are not with a new hypothesis, and then deploy very capable people to execute those things and maybe running 2 to 3 split tests that day on our landing pages, maybe launching X amount of new creatives, and then doing it again every single day, you know, and just rinse and repeat, trying to push the needle, get the numbers where we want to get them, and then getting to the point where when things are working, the mindset is hit the floor, hit the gas, and run as fast as possible, knowing that you have a straightaway, and everything's working in your favor. Knowing that at some point it's not going to work in your favor, and you're just trying to position yourself for success when that does happen.
For sure.
So like that's a little bit of kind of the inside of kind of the daily workflow of what's involved. But a lot of it is obsessing about the data, making intelligent hypothesis, knowing what to split test, knowing your numbers so you know where your numbers where you want your numbers to be, and bringing a certain level of excellence to that process. And again, it's like it's not just, hey, we're gonna launch this and it's gonna work. It just doesn't work that way.
That's right. So just for just to kind of give people, because I know these things, but not all the listeners know, and I want to respect your time. So I got like one more or two more questions for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, okay. For sure, man.
Okay. So just for listeners to know, how many tickets were sold in this world record breaking challenge? How many tickets were sold?
I don't know the exact number, but a little bit over 20,000.
Wow. So 20,000 people paid. And those are all predominantly paid or all paid.
All paid.
All paid to come to a 5-day challenge. And you guys were spending, on average, if you could share, how much per month in ad spend?
Depended. For that particular event, it was probably closer to like $4 million or something like that.
Wow. And then revenue made in a month from, on average, for a challenge of that capacity.
It depends. And I'm cautious to share numbers because here's the only reason why. The only reason why is it's important to take into account for everybody your individual model, meaning like, what are you selling, what you're selling, and at what price point, right? So it's like, if I give you the percentage, it's like, oh, you think it needs to be this percentage. But the reality is, if you hit that percentage, your numbers might not work. And your numbers might not work only because of how much you're selling your thing at, right? And so it's just important to take that into account. And so the most important thing, more than a specific number, is you got to figure out your numbers, right? You got to figure out what you can afford to spend on the front end to acquire a customer. And once you know those numbers, you know that you're going to be profitable on the back end because your conversion rate on the back end of total registrants is X amount. And that leads to X ROAS and or profitability for you guys, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to know your numbers as a baseline. This is something that'll refine over time once you do it enough times. You got to know your numbers and you got to live by those numbers. And you got to be willing to take risk by those numbers, knowing that those are intelligent, calculated risk. That's ultimately the name of the game. But you got to figure it out what it is for yourself. You know, it's like, don't hear someone else's numbers unless you're going to copy and paste the exact same strategy, meaning this is what you're charging on the front end. This is what you're charging on the back end. Then maybe these numbers become relevant to you. But even then, it's like, are you in the same market? You know, are you speaking to the same people? Right. You know, all these different things matter.
For sure. Man, that's gold. Wow, Pedro. a question that I have for you. Well, let me ask you this, and then I'll ask our final question. Where can people get plugged in with you? They say, man, Pedro, I'd love for you to intersect into my business, look inside, and, you know, I want to model, I want to scale, I want to go to 7-8 figures. Where can they learn about you or get more information?
Yeah, so I'll just say this. So, like, you know, for the last X amount of years of my life, you know, I've taken great pride, you know, relatively living a private life. You know, for a long time, if you looked me up, you probably wouldn't even find anything online, because I was kind of like the secret unknown weapon behind a lot of people's businesses. Mm-hmm. Would be a good way to think about me. But that's definitely changing now. I think by the time that this podcast releases, our website should be live. And you can check that out at businesswithintegrity.com. That's where I'll be, you know, publishing content, and people can learn more about, you know, what I'm doing and advocating for, and something people might find some interest in. But outside of that, if you want to write us directly and get in touch, I think you can do that by just emailing us at hello@businesswithintegrity.com. And that's a great email to write us at.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. And a final question, man, that I have for you, brother. You had no idea I was going to ask you this. I know you can
set me up, man.
I know you can handle it, though. You're a deep dude. What's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift and one's purpose.
Yeah, wow, that is a deep question.
Mm-hmm.
One's gift and one's purpose. Well, I think I'll answer the purpose question first, because I think that one's a little more clear to me right off the gate. The way I think about purpose in life is that thing that you know about how you're supposed to move through the world that's independent of external validation, external of any thoughts that move through you. It's like, again, it's just what you know. Like, what do you know, right? That in my case, I the way I think about it is like what my creator has revealed to me about how I'm supposed to use my life force. That's how I think about my purpose. Like, when that comes through me without words, that's how I know what I'm supposed to do, whether that be in my relationships, whether that be in business, whether that be in my health. What do I know without words? Because life has revealed that to me, and that's how I know it as truth. Mm-hmm. There's no higher way that life can speak to me, right? Where I think my gifts, even though I'm really good at marketing, you know, is that my gifts, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I guess you can say that. Is that my purpose? I wouldn't say so. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm here for really incredible big things. You know, right now, one of the things, here's how I would distinguish my gifts and purpose. Like, I would say, like, right now, one of my purposes is to be a really strong advocate. And that's why I'm doing podcasts like these moving forward, and really starting to share and do these kind of things, is to be an advocate for people that, yes, they want to grow successful, profitable brands, but they actually want to grow in the positive impact that they're having in the world, AKA for people who actually care. Mm. And know that by caring, that's how they get to make a lot of money in the world. Mm. And want to be part of the solution, not the problem, and understand that business can be a strong vehicle for that. And it's just something I'm so passionate about, and feels like one of the ways that I feel so ecstatic that I get to spend my life force doing every single day. It doesn't feel like work, you know, where I would distinguish my gifts as, yeah, I have a very unique way of thinking about solving problems. I have a very unique way at looking at how to position a company, how to grow a company, how to penetrate a market, how to scale something. So that's how I would separate the two.
Beautifully said, brother. I knew you'd have an introspective answer for us that would help us to think So thank you, man. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you feel like, hey, I need to share with the people, or did we cover it? What, anything?
Yeah, I would say, like, the number one thing that I really want to advocate for, especially if you're an entrepreneur or an aspiring entrepreneur who's listening to this, I want to help you rise to, or want to encourage you to rise into a new identity. And that identity is to be generous with your life, to be generous with your life, to be generous in your relationship, and to be generous in your business. And I know, and hear me when I say this, I know that being generous in all those areas will be a byproduct of you looking back one day and looking at yourself in the mirror and, like, just loving what you see, loving the impact that you've been able to make, loving who you get to be to the people closest to you, you know, loving your energy, you know, loving who you are and how you walk through the world. That's all a byproduct of generosity, you know. You get to be generous with your emotions on the days that you don't feel well, but you still got to show up for things. You know, I think generosity is the secret to an incredible life, and all the things that we want as entrepreneurs. And I think that the people who rise up to that identity, will actually do the things that they're here to do.
Love that. Well stated, brother. Thank you so much for blessing the people today, man, and myself included. So much value, so much wisdom. Continue shining, man. Continue being a bright light for people, brother. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Dear listener, I would like to thank you so much for listening to How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. As a token of my appreciation, I would love to give to you my most important piece of work to date, and it's called the Purpose Gift Tape. It's a motivational mixtape geared towards helping you to identify your gifts, which ultimately lead to you discovering your purpose. This is a 6-track album I poured my heart and soul into. It includes beautiful beats and amazing spoken word over it, and I'd love to give that to you as a free gift, as a token of my appreciation for being a part of the community. So to get your copy, all you need to do is go to podcast.daviddsimons.com. That's podcast.david, the middle initial D, Simons, Simons.com, and get yours today. Thank you for being a listener. I'll catch you on the next episode. How I Discovered My Gift with David D. Simons is proud to be of the amazing and illustrious Alive Podcast Network.